Hello, 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 and thank you for tuning in tonight. Thank you for tuning in to Life Talk Radio. This is Face to Face, and I am your host, Sabrina. Tonight, we're going to have some fun tonight. We're going to talk about being single and saved. Single and saved. Single and saved. So I just wanted to kind of like dialogue a little bit about our journey. Some of us are still on that journey, and actually, I have a few sisters on the line, and we're just going to dialogue a little bit. Before I actually started the station recording, I was asking Prophetess Ebony a question about her book, and she was telling me the title of it, and she told me something so profound that the Lord told her. And so, Ebony, if you would, just go ahead and share with us really quickly in regards to what we were talking about. And we could just kind of like dialogue from there.
Cool. So I've been writing this book, well, a long time. So anyway, the book is called Beyond Me Was My Miracle. And for years I was struggling trying to make revelation of it, trying to get an understanding, like, God, what are you saying? And I kept waiting for something, this huge miracle to happen until probably a week ago, and he said, you are what you're looking for. You're the miracle that you're looking for. And So basically he was saying, when I got beyond me, and me was who I grew up to be or grew up being, the person that was abused, the person that was molested, the person that was rejected, the person that was neglected, the person that was overlooked. So getting beyond her was really finding the significance of who I was, the ability to have Jesus or have him on the inside of me to decree a thing and let it be established. So he said, you are what you're looking for. So a lot of times I was telling someone else, they were saying how they want an organization. Where they were wasn't organized. You are the organization. So what it is that's lacking is actually who you are, and you're looking for something that you possess.
Yes, that's good. I think that was so profound to bring out, because single and saved people of God, women of God, we are the miracle. You know, we must be in that place where we're content, content in the state that we're in, but still pressing forward, still progressing, still pursuing the things of God that he has called, you know, that he has called us to. And so I just thought that was just so profound that she, you know, that the Lord has shared that with her, and how that could relate to, you know, being single and saved. And the title of tonight's segment is Single and Saved, The Road to Becoming the Best Me. And so when I looked at this picture, I meant to put up a question mark, because many of you saw the flyer, and I just saw three different distinct personalities within these women. It's the same woman, but it's like three different personalities. Their hairstyles are different. Makeup is different. Clothes is different. There's a distinction about each one. And so, you know, we can share for a brief moment our own journey of being single and saved, yet on that road to becoming the best me. And so I'll just go ahead and just start it off as well. Being single and saved, I've been unmarried now for 20 years. 2016 makes it 20 years. Divorced from my ex-husband, and at the same time, I came into the kingdom of God. You know, I got saved. 2 years after that, I answered the call to preach. But being on that road, on this road of being unmarried was long for me, because I had to undo some thought patterns that I had. Of course, like we all know, we had to undo some things and habits that we had, and get our emotions together, get our soul together, and we're still on that same journey. But on the road to become the best me, that's both naturally and spiritually, you know, because we can go to the scriptures and see what the scripture says. Romans tells us to present our bodies to God, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. And then at the same time, in the natural, what are we doing in our lives naturally that we're on the road to becoming the best us? Maybe we need an attitude adjustment. Maybe we need, healthier fellowship and friendship as far as, you know, the type of people we hang around with and things of that nature, conversations and things of that nature. So this is a day-to-day journey even for me, because I'm always looking to evolve. I'm always looking to network with different people that I feel like will enhance where I'm trying to go. And so being single, and I'm content with it. I'm okay with it. At one point, I never used to be okay with it because it was a longing in my heart, and it basically almost just overtook me, because I wanted to be married, wanted to be in a relationship, wanted to be in a relationship, wanted to be loved, wanted to be held, wanted to go on a date, wanted to go to the movies, wanted to go to dinner, you know, all that type of stuff, until I just got to the point of being content and being content in the purpose and will of God for my life, and knowing that because marriage is a desire, that it will come at the appointed time. And so I just began to really allow God to do a work on the inside of my heart and my emotions, and that work is still taking place. So when I looked at these women here, and I don't know if y'all got y'all computer in front of you all, the one with the short hairstyle, she looks real serious and stern. You know, the one in the middle looks playful, looks like she likes to have fun all the time. And the one on the end with the ponytail looks like she just deep and wonderful in worship, or she sincerely has, you know, her focus is worship and in her word and things of that nature. So give me your take on, you know, what you see here on this flyer and how it relates to you. If you guys have the flyer in front of you, if you've seen the flyer.
Okay, yeah, the one that you have the same and single thing. Okay, because I was like, where is this? I'm like, okay, we saw it. Oh, that's funny.
Ebony, did you see the flyer?
I'm sorry, I was on mute. Yes, I saw it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
which one can you identify with?
The one in the middle.
I'm definitely the one on the end with it.
The one in the middle, because, I mean, you know my personality.
Right.
I'm just so ridiculous. So definitely not deep, and I'm definitely not as flashy and sassy as that one. So I'll be, you know, always been like the homegirl or, you know, that
right.
One. So.
I could see a combination of myself and all these women. Lisa, what about you? Did you see the flyer?
I saw the flyer briefly, but I'm not able to see it right now.
Okay, okay. Yeah, when we get out the phone, you can go look at it and just kind of see, like, which one you can identify with. What about
right.
You, LaToya?
I would say the one to the right, the one with the black dress on, and the first one in some sense.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely the one with the black dress on. That's kind of mean, like, she kind of too deep a little sometimes. Just kind of not letting her hair down. You see her, even her hair is all up at night, you know. And so I definitely can say that is me. I can be very serious at times, and I need to loosen up. I have to let it go. And even the Lord told me that, you know. Definitely, I know that's me, and I know that's an issue. And even to the point when it deals with being saved and single, it's almost like I'm like, mm-mm, I don't even have time. Don't even come talking. I don't have time. You know, it's like because I'm so in this place where I'm like, I refuse to settle. I refuse to, you know, do anything that I've done before. And so, yeah, definitely her. Definitely me. Yes, Lord. Definitely. And the other one, because she looks as though she's serious, but then she's really kind of like, why are you being so serious? Because I can see myself coming out of it a little bit, but still kind of like, oh, no, I'm, you know, I'm all that. Like, so, you know, but not
right.
in the sense of being conceited, but just as a woman, you know, knowing, you know, who I am and who I am in God, and God just really telling me that to really know who he is and not to even use that because, you know, that can be prideful, you know, and I definitely have struggled with pride a lot, you know, throughout my life. And so Yeah, those two definitely. And that other one, no, her, no, I probably wouldn't be able to.
Yeah.
I don't
yeah. When I looked here, and I'm like, wow, this is an awesome picture to really engage in a conversation about being single and saved, because it's like a different type of phase of life that you go through, especially when you're coming away from old habits and, you know, you're breaking away from ungodly soul ties and things of that nature. And so, you know, that's the thing of being on the road to becoming the best me. We take on, you know, different forms. And like you were saying, LaToya, I've been told before myself to kind of like loosen up, you know, I'm too serious. And so it's all good, but I'm also learning how to, you know, relax and have fun. And things of that nature. I forgot to get statistics in regards to within the body of Christ of unmarried women, you know, that they're saved, and how many women out there are like us as it relates to being single and saved. We know it's more women than men, but I wanted to get statistics about that. But nevertheless, tell us, you know, anybody, tell us about your journey as it relates to being single and saved. And where you at right now, just, you know, really quickly. Anybody? Because, you know, being single, because relationships are the number one distractor.
Yes, I was about to say, why go if nobody else wants to go?
Yeah, relationships are the... Yeah, relationships are the number one distraction concerning being single and saved, because, of course, in a woman's heart, we want to be loved. We want to be in a relationship. And when we get in a relationship, we tend to, for me, tend to go head first, just plunge on up in there and just get lost in it without having some sort of, I don't want to call it balance, but it really is balance. And so I had to come to grips with myself, because you got to know yourself. You got to know what distracts you. You got to know what will kind of cause an hindrance to your walk. So you got to know you. So for me, I had to come to grips with, I don't think I'm ready for a relationship yet. Because for me, it will be a distraction.
That's the same way I feel. I feel the same way of like you said, Sabrina. For me, yes, it has been a journey. Saying that I have been in, you know, in previous relationships with my son's dad, and then another gentleman I was in a relationship with, and the Lord kept, you know, I knew that this person was not my husband because the Lord showed me, and I kind of asked the Lord, you know, God, don't let this be tried to ask me to marry him, any of that, and he's not my husband. And so I'm just kind of briefly go through this little story, because it's going to lead up to what I'm going to say. He came to the point of wanting to ask me when I was still back home in Texas, and this was about 4 years ago. And I was just like, he came up to my job, you know, with flowers and all this stuff. And so long story short, he put the ring inside the flowers, and he kept telling me to look for the ring. And I was like, okay. He was like, just look in the flowers. I'm like, what am I looking for? By this time, I'm annoyed, because first of all, you're at my job, working in the classroom with kids. I mean, what are you doing? And so I look, and I get the ring, and he's like, oh, it's, you know, it's an engagement ring. And I'm like, okay. It's an engagement ring, fine, whatever. And so I said, you know, you really need to go right now. I have to talk to you off, because right now this is just too much. So I get in my car, I'm driving home, and I'm like, Lord, I asked you to please do not let me ask, you already showed me and told me. And God spoke to me, and he said, he did not ask. He did not propose. He did not say, will you marry? He didn't ask you. You know, although he went through with the ask, he didn't ask. And so I was just like, oh, my God, you know, that was definitely the truth. And so he didn't really understand, you know, I had to tell him, like, you know, and I knew, I gave him back the ring and all that stuff. And so after that particular incident, I really was like, okay, Lord, I've always kind of felt annoyed. I'm not going to lie, being in a relationship, and I know that had a lot to do with me, because I know it requires time. And I've always felt the same way about being married. Not that I don't desire, it's like a part of me does and a part of me does not, because I feel like that it will definitely take away focus from God and from the things he's called me to do, because it's going to take, you know, for me to, you know, husbands need attention. They want, you know, I got to cook, I got to do this. And so I have a son. I have a 15-year-old son that I'm like, okay, I'm already, you know, dealing with him and raising him. And so to bring another person into this right now, I don't see it being good for me. And that's, and God has told me, he spoke to me and told me that, you know, you don't want to be selfish. Don't be selfish, because if you don't want to share your faith and time with someone else, then definitely how are you going to even be effective in the things that I tell you to do? And so I've called you to do as well. And so I was just like, Lord, okay, you really got to help me. So like you said, it is truly, we definitely have to know ourselves. We have to definitely let God put the mirror in front of our face and show us who we are, so that way we can know. Because the thing is that I'm always saying, Lord, I want the man that you have for me, because I started out praying, and every time I did, God would send these particular people into my life, and I would be like, yeah, he is, but I mean, no, I can't even hold a conversation. Like, no, I'm not going to ever do it. And so it's like, God, okay, I want the man you have for me. You know me better than I know me. I want what you want for my life. Whatever that is, God, I'm okay with that. And it's almost like I can hear the Spirit telling me, are you sure? Because you may not, you're not going to, nobody's perfect, neither are you, and you're not going to like every single thing about a person, but you learn to deal with it. You learn to live with them and love them for who they are, because once you love, and he was just telling me how, you know, my whole idea of love was even messed up. I mean, God has really been dealing with me when it comes to the relationship, marriage, and all of that, because I told him to teach me how to be submissive. I don't know how to do that. I've always been so independent on my own, doing my own thing, making my own money, that I would always be like, oh, I don't need to do, I have my own money. And so God had to strip me. He had to break me down and take me to the point of being dependent upon him, so that I could get out of that independent spirit and come to the knowledge of knowing that when I do get a husband, I am going to have to be submissive to him and not always think that I have to be in control, because I did definitely have a problem with control, you know, wanting to be in control, because being single, being independent, you know, having all of this, a career, doing what I wanted to do, it that's what it led to. And so I'm like, yes, Lord, you got to work on me. And so it is a process, even leading up to now. It has truly been a process, and God is working on me, so I'm just praising him through it.
You know what, and to be honest, it don't feel good. It really don't feel good but it's we know that, you know, it's love from the Lord, you know, because he chastises those whom he loves, pointing out some things within us that need to be fixed, some things that need to be changed, some things that need to we need to work on, and this is that. You know, this is being on that road to becoming the best us, because it will be beneficial not only to us, but, you know, to our mate, to the body of Christ, so we could be the best in all that God has for us and has called us to do. And so with me, God is working with patience, working with me on patience. Patience, you talked about that independent spirit, that as well.
Yes.
And, and some other things.
Definitely.
And so being single, it's a great time. It's the best time in your life. You know, no puns against the married folks that's on here. No puns intended. I'm just saying, for us that's unmarried at this point, it's the best time for us, because we can take our focus and put it on God, and God can do, he can pull some stuff up out of us, and then at the same time put some things on, you know, on the inside of us that will be relevant and beneficial to us within the body of Christ, and it'll be a blessing to others and things of that nature. And so, and I think someone told me this a while ago. They say, you know, a lot of times we've been taught, hang around other single people. Go out and hang in a group.
Lord.
Go out in a group. Okay, but someone points this out to me. They said, well, how would that help a married person get in a place of preparation for marriage if all they're hanging around is unmarried folks?
My thought, exactly. I'm like, so that's not beneficial.
Right. So we need to, you know, it's okay to be around unmarried couples, you know, as relates to friendship, fellowship, and, you know, you're seeing marriage from, you know, the paradigm in front of you. You understand it from a biblical point, but at the same time, in the natural, you see it in front of you, whether it's your pastor, whether it's your friends or whoever. But I believe it will be beneficial for unmarried people to, you know, be around married people. Now, I'm not talking about spending the night at their house and stay there all week and all year. I'm not talking about that. We're talking about healthy fellowship so that we can have an understanding of it. But, yeah,
exactly.
they taught us for years only, you know, and I did that for a while. Honestly, I did that for a while, especially when I first got saved, because I needed that accountability.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I needed that accountability. We were all strengthening one another in regards to accountability. So we were, like, chasing after God, like, just real hard. We were always at prayer meetings, services, you know, things of that nature. So it has this place. I'm not saying that it's wrong. I'm just saying it has this place. But at the same time, you know, be open to other ideas as well, especially if you have a desire to be married.
Mm-hmm.
So on that road to becoming a better you, a better me, is beneficial that we allow Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us into all truth, even in things that he wants to show us that will cause a stumbling block or hindrance that we need to work on, you know, like work on more patience, work on your not being getting so angry real quick, work on listening, you know, things of that nature. Some of you married folks on here, you want to go ahead and chime in, so we have a few more minutes. You can give us your journey before you got married and, you know, what it's like now that you're married. It's quiet. Married folks. I saw Denise Prophetess Ebony.
Hello.
Yes, I keep forgetting to unmute my phone, but I'm of course, you know, I'm not single at the right. Yeah, I'm not single anymore, but I do want to share something in my singleness state, in my preparation to becoming. One of the hardest things for me in my transition was my prayer life that I had prior to me being married was bananas. And so getting married, it was like, you know, I want to be in prayer, but, you know, life duties or whatever. And so
Wait a minute. Hold on. So you're saying before you got married, you had the off-chain prayer life, right? You know, you can go and pray anytime that you want to, right?
I can pray anytime, yeah.
And now that you got married, what has happened now?
So, you know, it's interrupted because you got to, you know, do wifely things.
Yeah.
What happened was, you know, you got the old saints that's like, you know, if you're not doing this, you know, that's not cool. God ain't listening to you. So I had a whole meltdown because I'm like, hold up. You mean to tell me that when I once had direct access to God, now because this joker on some stuff, you know, OD'ing, now me and God got an issue? So I was devastated because I'm just like, God, I didn't ask for him. Like, you're going to have to fix this because I ain't know, you know. So it's just a whole adjustment of just knowing, you know, it's the scriptures when it said, you know, when you're single, you can go hard in the paint and all these things. But after that, it's now everything that has to do with this man, you know, that's in your life. I'm grateful that, you know, God even gave me a miracle in that because I probably, I know I don't. Well, I can't even say that, but, you know, I'm just glad that God, you know, chose me for this particular endeavor.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. I think I really thank God for the transparency here, because I think at one point I had started saying, okay, let me not be in a rush to get married because of some of the things I saw. It wasn't all bad, but I like my alone time. And what Prophet has just spoke about, I'm tickled. I'm just like tickled pink because I'm like, really? Your prayer life, though?
See? That's why I feel like, no, Jesus. Like, and I always make the joke, I don't want to interrupt you, Sabrina. I always make the joke, well, Paul said that it is better to be unmarried. So I always make this joke to people, you know. And then one day the Lord said, yes, but that's not what I have for you. That's not. So you can stop. You can stop trying to justify why you're saying, well, God, I mean, it's going to be this, God, it's going to be that. I'm good, God. I actually remove all everything. You've done it. I'm good. I'm okay. You know, I'm fine. But definitely, definitely, the Lord. He, oh, my goodness.
Yes, Elder Sabrina. Yes. It's Elder Sabrina. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay. This is Denise Cousins, and I thank God for this dialogue. I thank God for this. This is so beautiful. I'm married, and you are awesome teaching. You are awesome leader, and I appreciate you in this moment. I'm just rejoicing in my heart for this platform that you have. I'm married, but when I got saved, that was real close to like months after that, you know, maybe a year after that, then I got married. So my singlehood was different because I wasn't saved, but the advice I would give any woman before she get married in her singleness, just by learning from my mistakes, because I've been married now for 19 years, you know, but now what I've learned that I should have gotten in my singleness is an identity. And
that's good.
When you have an identity, you won't want something from someone else that you're supposed to have before you get in somebody's life. So you won't be overwhelming. You won't be needy. You won't be so wanting. You will not make that person, even your marriage, into an idol. Mm-hmm. And this is what I would say in your singlehood, just from my mistakes. You know, thank God I have a healthy marriage now. My husband is saved. You know, I prayed him through. I fasted him through. My family saved by the grace of God. I have a beautiful family. And my marriage was on the edge of a divorce. But thank God we made it. We survived our storms, you know. But what I would say before all of that, when I was single, I didn't have an identity. And also, what you have to master in your singleness is doing the things of the Lord right now, not believing that you're going to do the things of the Lord correctly when you get married, because now, you know, you're not fornicating now, you know, you're married, and now, because I'm going to tell you something, if you don't master the areas in your life that God is allowing you to fall and trip in, just because he wants you to master those areas and become strengthened in those areas, when you get married and you have to deal with things accordingly to the word of God, you are going to have a hard time. So it's best to master those things, meaning that if God says submit to you, if God says no about this situation, if God says pray, if God says no, you cannot connect with this guy, no, you cannot talk to this person, no, that stuff don't end when you marry. You have to master that now. So then when you get married, you will not have hardship. And the last thing that I will say about that is before you get married, please be healed so you don't attract those dysfunctions that God wants you to get rid of while you're single. Because you can get a beautiful man who's saved and sanctified, and deal with the Holy Ghost. But if you don't deal with the dysfunctions that God tell you to deal with in your behind closed doors when nobody's looking in your singleness, you will attract somebody that's attracted to your dysfunction.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's it.
That's good. That's good.
That's good.
Wow, that's good. That's good.
I love you all. I love you all. And I am praying. I am praying for you all. You all are some beautiful women. And these men out here, they got something. They going to have something on their table when they deal with y'all because y'all have an identity. And, you know, these men out here, they used to dingy women. Dingy, just dingy, just don't. They so needy and all this stuff. So I am praying that you all just take the time in this singleness to value yourself and build up your identity and strengthen yourself and just practice discipline and obedience. You're never going to be perfect, but if you can practice obedience and believe in God's word, you give God something to work with where he can perfect you. So at least even if you're flawed, because we all live in sin and we're human, but even if we're flawed, you will not attract your dysfunction or your fears. Because you're dealing with it now.
Right. And so many people need to hear messages like this because it's a lot going on within the body of Christ with unmarried women, you know, unmarried men, identity crisis, and things of that nature. So I'm confident that God will make he has already did, and it is a clarion call out there concerning the unmarried and their focus in God and their heart to be set ablaze upon the things of God and, you know, allow him to do some things on the inside of them, especially as it relates to healing and deliverance. So this was a great, great, great conversation. I like the many different turns it took as it relates to the flyer, different experiences that unmarried had, the experiences that the married had. You guys gave great examples in regards to your before stages and then, you know, being married. So thank you so much for sharing that. That was great, great, great dialogue. And let me see. There was something else I was going to say, but I forgot. But are there any other last words before we end this segment tonight? Did everyone enjoy the dialogue?
Yes, I had a great time. Thank you for inviting me.
Yes, amen. Thank you, Prophetess, for always being on.
Elder Sabrina, the last thing that I would like to share with all our sisters that's on the line is the one of the things that I believe that will bless your marriage when you all become married is to, if you have any daddy issues and trusting men because of daddy issues, this is the time to deal with that. So you can be the best wife you can be to your husband.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And trust in him. And trust in him because that right there, no trust and not knowing how to submit because of what daddy did or what he didn't do, you know, that will... it's easy for a woman to get married, but staying married is the thing, you know.
Right.
You never want to be that burden in your marriage because you don't know how to trust because of what dad did. So this is the time to get healed from those areas.
Absolutely. And that's it. Absolutely. That's good. That's a great, great, great point. Well, guys, thank you so much for tuning into Life Talk Radio. And, of course, my show is called Face to Face, where we talk about live life issues and things of that nature. We want to, you know, put it out there on the table and bring a resolution to it, you know, and maybe it'll be beneficial to the hearers that are on the show. So thank you so much for tuning in. I will be back again next week, Thursday, at 8 o'clock Central Standard Time. I'm not sure what we're going to speak about, but send me your suggestions, and we can talk about it. Again, this is face-to-face. We're talking about real-life stuff. So, again, thank you so much for tuning in. I will see you guys next week, Thursday. God bless you.
Mm-hmm.
God bless you.